Share with you this evening an idea on Megillas Rus. So when I think when we look at characters in Tanakh, there are three different ways to look at them. There are characters that are black, there are characters that are white, and then there are some characters that are gray. The black and white characters are the ones that are clearly either excellent, good, tzaddikim, or Rishayim. That's the same. You look at Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no question. We don't sit there and say, I don't know, what was the story with Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik. And then on the flip side, you look at someone like Paro and you say, there's no question there either. Paro is a rasha. There's nothing redeeming, nothing good at all to learn from Paro. The complicated part is we do have some characters in Tanakh where it's gray. We look at them and we say, on the one hand, there's something redeeming, something positive, something wonderful about them. And yet, on the other hand, there's something that's conflicting, something that's troubling, something that just doesn't sit well with us. I would say the best way to describe them is there's something unsettling about them. So what I want to try to do is I want to try to take a look at the character of Lot. Lot, I believe, is one of those characters. On the one hand, we look at Lot and say there are certain things about Lot that are amazing. Lot leaves Haran with Avram Avinu, travels to Eretz Canaan. It doesn't seem like such a great idea, and yet he says, no problem, Avram, I'm with you, let's go, let's do this together. He comes to Eretz Canaan, there's a famine, and he travels down to Mitzrayim. Also, with Avram Avinu, no questions asked. He doesn't in any way compromise Sarah's cover as Avram's sister. He does everything he's supposed to do. And yet, when we think of Lot, we don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts where we say, oh, there's a tzaddik. We kind of look at Lot and say, there's something off, there's something missing, there's something that could have been with Lot that isn't. So I want to share with you a couple ideas tonight, based on Divrei Torah I've heard over the years from Rabbi Rubel, a rabbi of mine back in Eretz Yisrael over 20 years ago, Rabbi David Foreman, who of course is a famous Tanakh person, and Dr. Eyal Ziegler. The three of them, I think, have a beautiful idea on how to understand Lot. So to do that, I want to take a look at Bereishis for just a few minutes. Let's take a look at the moment where Lot and Avram go their separate ways. So we're told, V'gamel Lot ha'olechat Avram ha'yatzonu v'akar ve'o'alim. Lot, who went with Avram, also had lots of stuff. Lot and Avram both became very, very wealthy in the land of Egypt. And they couldn't live together anymore because they had so much cattle, so much stuff. There was a conflict, there was an argument between Avraham and between Lot's shepherds. And the Torah then conveniently tells us, at that point in time, the Knani and the Prizi were in the land. Rashi points out, why does he need to tell us that? That was part of the machlokes. Is that what Lot would say, or his shepherds would say, rather, is, do you know what? We can take the food of the land. It's not a big deal. Why? Because Avraham Avinu is supposed to be Yoresh the land. Avram has no descendants, and therefore, who's going to be the one to be Yoresh? Who's going to be the one to get everything? It's going to be Lot. Lot is the closest descendant. Vayomer Avram Lot. Avram says to Lot, "Al natihi meriva beini uveinecha, uvein roai uvein roecha, ki anashim achim anachnu. We're brothers. We can't have a machlokus between us. We can't have a fight. We have to make peace. Halo kala aretz afanecha hi pared na me'alai. The entire land is before you, and this is what I suggest. Hi pared na me'alai. Separate from me. Imasmol ve'imina v'mayamin v'asmiila. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Vaisa Lot et einav, Lot lifts up his eyes, vayar ko kikara yardein, ki kula mashke. What does Lot see? Lot sees that the entire area of the Yardein, it's beautiful. Lifnei shachet Hashem et stom et amora. It's before God destroyed stom and amora, ki gan Hashem ki eretz mitzayim boachat zohar. It was a beautiful place. Unbelievable. Lot says, fine, Avram, if you're saying I can go wherever I can go and you'll go wherever I won't go, then I choose stone. Lot goes mikedem from the east. And they separate. Now that word vaypardu we'll come back to in a little bit. Really, really important. They separated one from the other. Avram yashav be'eretz Canaan, velot yashav be'areya kikar v'yahal ad Sedom. Now that's very important. They do separate. Avram stays in Eretz Canaan, and Lot goes to Sodom. But if you read the pasuk carefully, even though the next pasuk tells us v'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chataim l'Hashem od, the people of Sodom were terrible, wicked people. Nonetheless, we have to read that word, the pasuk, carefully. When Lot leaves, it says v'yahal ad Sodom. It doesn't say that he goes listom or bistom. It says adstom, until stom. The Chizkuni tells us vayahal adstom velo bistom. He doesn't go to stom. Why? Lefishem raim chatayim. Because the next pasuk tells us the people were wicked, and he says, "I'm not going there. How can I be there?" The Radak also says the same thing. He says that he knew he couldn't go there, but what happened? He felt that there was possibly a way that he could go there and not learn from their ways. He says, "Hayach kol chazak be'emunah v'yosher shelo lama mimaseyem." Lot was so confident in who he was. He was so confident in his abilities to be a tzaddik that he said, "I won't learn from their ways." So my Rebbe in Israel, Rabbi Rubel, suggested the following. A beautiful idea. He says, what's really going on? Why does Lot separate? And why does Lot choose to go to Sodom? So he says, Avram and Lot were Rebbe and Talmud. And every Rebbe and Talmud has that moment where the Talmud finally feels, you know what? I'm on the level of the Rebbe. I can go on my own and I can make my own business, so to speak. Avram's business was Kiruv. So Lot says, I've been watching this Kiruv master for a long time, and I believe that I'm ready to do it myself. Let me go. So he has to choose, where is he going to pick his place? What's going to be the location that he's going to work on to be Mekariv, the Olam? He says, is there any place better than Sodom? I'm going to go to Sodom where the people are so bad, there's so much opportunity, so many chances to change the world. Let me go there. V'yahal ad Sodom. But he says, I can't go into Sodom, because people of Sodom are really bad. I'll be on the edge of Sodom, and I'll make every effort, every attempt to change the people. Sounds a lot like Avram. Avram lives on the edge of the desert, and he catches people as they're going by, and he teaches them the ways of Hashem. That's exactly what Lot had in mind. Radak says again, Hayakol kachazak be'emunah. He was so confident in who he was. He felt he was ready to do it. He was ready to take on the world and change everyone. That's what Lot felt. Fascinating. Fascinating. As we take a look at this carefully, what we realize is that there is the possibility that Lot isn't bad. But he's going from the right place. So what's his mistake? So if we watch the psukim carefully, we know that after the war with the four and five kings, he integrates more and becomes part of the society. And he becomes a judge in Sodom by the time we hit Vayera. And by the time the Malachim come to visit, to destroy, he's a shofate. He's a judge who sits in the gate of the city. Lot has arrived. Lot has become one of the people. And Lot doesn't lose that sense of what it's like to be from Avram Avinu's house. Because when the angels come and they visit Sodom, he does Hachnasas Orchim at least on par with Avram Avinu, and perhaps on a greater level than Avram Avinu, because he knows that there's such a risk and such a danger to his life, and yet he still does it. So who is Lot? So we get one sense of Lot at the very end. When the people of Sodom surround his house, and they demand, take out the people in the city, that your guests, we want to know them. And we know that does not have a nice connotation to it. What happens there? So what Lot is saying is, take my daughters instead. How could anybody do that? Because Lot, as good and as well-intentioned as he was not the Rebbe. And he was not ready for the challenge that Sodom presented. But he thought he was. And because of that, he failed so mightily. And not only does he fall on his face, because that's bad enough, but he ends up losing out on an opportunity of being so great. And in the end, he degrades himself, has children with his daughters, and what a bizayon he is. So what's the message of Lot? Perhaps the message of Lot is that if you're not ready for the job, don't take it. But perhaps there's one other message, and I think this is the message that ties in so beautifully to Megillas Rus. Vayipardu. They separated. Avraham and Lot separated. Do they separate forever? So that's where we have to go back to our Megillah. Megillas Rus is a beautiful story. Unbelievable. The dedication, the devotion that Rus has to Naomi is unbelievable. You might not be able to find anybody like that in Tanakh. There's a word, if you read Perek Aleph, wherever we end up reading Megillas Rus on Shavuos, if you read Perek Aleph, you'll notice that there's a word, it's a guiding word, a Mila Mancha, a word that we have over and over and over again, the Shoresh Shuv, to return. So let's take a look at that story for just a moment. It's Naomi says, "Why in the world would you want to come with me? It doesn't make any sense. I don't have any children, there is no purpose, stay away from me, I'm just done with you." And you would think that that's what would happen. And Orpah says, "You're right, there is no purpose, this is silly." And she says, "I'm leaving." Now, I think that Orpah is noble for how far she goes, but listen to what it says by Rus. So Naomi says, So Naomi says, "What are you doing? Arpa's left. Don't bother me to leave anymore. Why? Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Your nation is my nation, your God is my God. Bashar tamuti amut, where you die, I'll die, v'shamek haver, and there I'll be buried. Kol yaseh Hashem li v'cho yosif, I swear by God, kamavet yafrid b'ni u'v'neich. Only death will separate the two of us. Yafrid. Vayipardu. What happened to Lot? Lot separated from Avraham. The question is, were they separated forever? And that's, I think, the beauty of the Megillah. The Megillah says they were not separated forever. There is the opportunity for redemption, and there is the opportunity for tshuva. It might take a really, really, really long time, but there is a chance that everybody can get back together. Lot, for all of his negatives, and there were so many of them, Lot had an element of righteousness in him. Does it go to all of his children? Sadly, no, because he missed the boat. But there's a little bit, a little spark. And that spark travels for many hundreds of years until it's captured in the neshama of Rus, and Rus comes back shava. She comes back to Avram's family. I think perhaps the other message that we can take from the Megillah and from Lot, which I think is so much more powerful, and it's something that we could really appreciate. It's not just don't take a job you can't handle, but it's no matter how far and no matter how much we think we're lost, if we have that nitzotz, that spark of godliness, that spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in us, we're never fully lost. We can come back and we can be redeemed. And I think that that's something that's so important for us to remember. Because sometimes we sit there, whether it's Rosh Hashanah time or the rest of the year, and we say, "I've strayed so far from the ways of my parents and my grandparents, that how could it be? I'll never be able to go back and once again and say, I am a child of." And yet Lot tells us that no matter how bad, no matter how far, there is always the opportunity to return, so long as we keep that spark going. It should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that we should be able to soon bekarov be together, and we should always remember that we have that spark within us. Sometimes it gets dampened, sometimes it needs a little bit more work, but it's always there, and it's always ready. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to make sure to light it well, to ensure that for us, our spark and our fire burn strong, and mir tzeshem, it should carry on to our children and to our grandchildren. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and everybody have a good yontiv.